One of them guys will help you out. We're going to begin to look at a topic. You can pull her back, Brent. Entitled Things to Come. And in the next several weeks, I will endeavor to cover some of the biblical events concerning our hope. Today, I would like to start this series by giving you an overview of things to come. I'm going to set before you 14 events that I will list that are all concerned with the kingdom of God and that relate to our hope. Now, there are more than 14 events, okay? I'm sure you can pick out a lot and number a lot, but I'm just going to handle 14 today. First of all, I'd like to tell you what our hope entails. The administration in which we live is called the Age of Grace. This you can read about in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 and 9. It's also referred to as the Church of God. This particular Church of God, this administration, this Church of Grace, began on the day of Pentecost. That can be read of in Acts chapter 2. From this point, Pentecost, from this point forward, those who believe, howbeit Jew or Gentile, become one new man in Christ. This is in Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 17. When a Jew or a Gentile receives Christ, according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, they are born again. You can read about that in 1 Peter 1:23. It's called the new birth. God then seals them with the Holy Spirit of promise. This you can look at in Ephesians 1, verse 13. This salvation is given freely by the grace of God and the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. This gift of salvation, it's given freely by the grace of God and the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. It cannot be lost by man because it was not earned by man. Man did nothing to receive this salvation but to meet the terms in faith. Man did not earn salvation. The Word of God teaches in Ephesians that we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is why God offered salvation to man, because he knew that man would screw it up. So God sealed it in Jesus Christ. This salvation is available to all who come to Jesus by faith, accept and confess him as their Lord and Savior, and believe that God raised him from the dead. It's available to all. One of the articles my wife found this week in the newspaper, I don't know whether this was a Sunday paper, Mercury. And this particular paper, the Mercury, it's called Another View. And its title is The Church is the Body of All True Believers. And the article starts out like this. Recently, the Pope announced that the Roman Catholic Church is the one true church and that there is no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Pope is the infallible spiritual head and the vicar of Christ here on earth. So, if you're not Roman Catholic, you all going to hell, according to this article, see? And they get away with this kind of crap. But that is not the truth. Salvation today is available to any and all who come to Jesus by faith, accept him, confess Him as their Lord and Savior, and believe that God raised Him from the dead. Salvation is available to all, to a Roman Catholic, to a Protestant, even to an Italian. You understand? If you meet what God makes available and receive it by faith, then you have the gift of salvation. It's a gift. You confess Jesus as Lord, you believe that God raised Him from the dead. Now, for some of you, that may sound too easy and too ridiculous, and you may want to get your works involved in that. But you can talk to God about that. It says we're saved by grace, not of works. We're saved by grace, not of works. We can't work our way in, or we can't work our way out. Now, there is a place for works in the church, but it has nothing to do with our gifted inheritance, which are with our inheritance that we receive by grace. It has everything to do with our inheritance that we receive by works. Once we are born again, once we accept Jesus as our Lord, confess Him as thus, and believe that God raised Him from the dead, we are then called Christians, or born again. And we belong to the church of God, or to the church of grace. Now, as a good Christian, we should endeavor to live our lives here on the earth as servants to our brothers and sisters, and we should endeavor to be good unto all. Galatians 6:10. As the lights of the world, we should not hide our light, but we should speak to all the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the kingdom of God. Matthew 5:14-15 and Matthew 24:14. When the fullness of time is come, God will send Jesus to gather the church of grace to Himself. Jesus Christ will not come to the earth at this time, but we will meet Him in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And I'd like you to take your Bibles and go there briefly. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. Because if you do not understand the second coming of Jesus Christ, you will wrongly divide the Word of God and as to the church's position with regards to the second coming. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, we read, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." See, it's a matter of believing that Jesus died and rose again. That goes along with Romans 10:9-10. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." We will not go before the ones that are asleep who believe that Jesus died and rose again. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The dead in Christ shall rise first. Christ has been used throughout the Scriptures. Christ has been used in the Old Testament with regards to Messiah who would reign on the king, the kingdom. But the term "in Christ" is completely significant to the Church of Grace and the Church Epistles. Never has the term "in Christ" been used outside of that. This is a new term. This is specific to the church that started on Pentecost forward. Those dead saints in Christ, Pentecost forward, shall rise first. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We then which are alive and remain are called up into the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This is the first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ, you will note that Jesus Christ never comes to the earth. Jesus Christ does not touch the earth. And if you do not understand that, and if you do not keep that straight in your thinking, you will not be able to divide the Word of God the way it's written correctly. We go to Him. We are called up. We meet Him in the air. We meet Him in the air. Now, we do know that Jesus Christ does come to the earth. We do know that Jesus Christ sets His kingdom up on the earth. We do know that the nations come and are judged before Him, that there's a sheep and a goat judgment. Matthew 25 teaches this. However, when Jesus is on the earth physically setting up the kingdom, ruling in the kingdom, it is because it is part of the second phase of the second coming, when He comes back to the earth. The first phase of the second coming, He does not come to the earth. He does not touch the earth. He is in the air, and we are called unto Him. Now, I'm going to develop this later for you so you can see this. But this is very important to understand. And the Word of God is very specific and accurate in how it divides these events. When the fullness of time is come, God will send Jesus to gather the church of grace to Himself. He will not come to the earth at this time, but we will meet Him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Now, during this time that we meet the Lord in the air and go with the Lord, there will be a time now that will come to pass on earth, spoken of especially in the Old Testament, called the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation. 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54, Revelation 7, Daniel 7, 2, etc. The church has been gathered. When I say church, I'm specifically talking about the born-again believers dead in Christ and the born-again believers that were alive in Christ, that were changed. They were gathered. They met the Lord in the air. Now there are people remaining on the earth. Those people who remain on the earth are made up of Jews and Gentiles. Because Corinthians teaches us there's only three classifications of people: Jew, Gentile, or one new man, the church of God, those who came. But at that time now, the tribulation will begin to take place. It'll be a seven-year period. However, this is only the first part of our hope. And this all will be coming to pass on the earth. The tribulation will be coming to pass on the earth, while the church, the gathered of the body, will stand before Christ. And at that point in heaven, we will be judged for our works, whether they're good or whether they're bad. The born-again believers will be judged for our works. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The church, the born-again believers, will then suffer loss or be rewarded. They will never lose their salvation, for their salvation is part of their inheritance earned by grace. Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10. What they will lose is their inheritance that they could have and did earn by works. 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 15. You have an inheritance that you earn by grace, and there is an inheritance that you earn by works. For instance, if you are born into an earthly family, the fact that you are born with the last name Rockefeller gives you a certain amount of prestige and inheritance in this world. It doesn't matter whether you're born as a woman, whether you're born as a man, whether you grow your life up and you are a jerk, whether you are a very good and proper child and grow your life up and are a blessing, you are still endued with that name Rockefeller, and that name carries a certain amount of weight with it by sheer fact that you were born with that name. You did nothing to earn that name. You did nothing that you could lose that name. That name was granted to you by sheer fact that you're born into that family. This is equated with the inheritance of grace. When we are born into the family of God, we are given certain amount of inheritance, and we are given this inheritance by the grace of God. It has nothing to do with what we do. God gave it, and God is the only one that could take it away, and God never takes it away. He says that we're saved by grace. You cannot lose it. That is the inheritance of grace. Now, there is another inheritance in the Word of God. It's called the inheritance by works. That simply means once you are born into the family of God, you may and can earn an inheritance in the future administration to come by how you live your life and the works that you perform here by your service to your brothers and sisters and all in the name of Jesus Christ by the love of God. For instance, if I'm born again and I have that inheritance of grace, eternal life, which is part of it, that is given to me by grace. I cannot lose that. Now, if I decide to serve my fellow man, if I decide to be a good Christian, if I decide to study my Bible, live my Bible, help other people, all of these things I can earn by my own merit. God takes notice of what I do. If I give faithfully to the outreach of God's Word, regardless of what denomination you're in, there's a principle in God's Word that says you should give. The Word of God teaches that we should speak the Word of God. The Word of God teaches that we should minister one to another, etc., etc. If we live our lives according to the standards of God's Word, and we do and we work for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are faithful to do that and execute those places and offices in which God has endued us and called us to, in the kingdom to come, you will be rewarded for that. There will be rewards. This is an inheritance that is going to be due you in the kingdom to come. Strictly, you receive this by how you live as a Christian here and now. If you decide to be a jerk, if you decide to get high, if you decide to turn your back on God like many people have, if you decide to say beans on you, you will not receive any inheritance by that you could earn by works in the kingdom to come. Do you still have the inheritance that was allotted you by grace? Absolutely, because you didn't earn it and you can't lose it. But you will lose the inheritance that you could have received by acting like a jerk here on earth. Let's say this happens. Let's say you're speaking the Word and you're really trying the Word and you're really doing all of these things that you should be doing. And then one day you decide to defect to the dark side, become a Sith, and be a jerk for the rest of your life. All of those things that you have earned for I don't know how long it takes, but God will then look at that, and when you stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to give account of your life. If you did earn something in the kingdom to come, Jesus is going to say to you, you did this, you did that, you're losing this. That's how a man can suffer loss. The Word of God says, yet the man himself shall be saved, but his rewards will be lost. You understand? These rewards will then determine your future assignments here on the earth for the 1,000 years when Christ returns to set up the kingdom of God with the Old Testament saints and the tribulation survivors. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7. The rewards that you earn by your faithful obedience here on earth now in this lifetime, you will get that inheritance in the millennial kingdom. That's when you will be able to enjoy those rewards. You understand? You will enjoy those rewards. When the 1,000 years is over, we will enter into what is called the eternal kingdom, to live forever on a recreated earth with God and with Jesus Christ. And that will last forever, Revelation 21 and following. Now that's a brief overview. Now in order to understand our hope, we need to look at some events significant to our hope. Okay? In order to understand our hope, I want to look at some of the events that are significant to our hope. I began by telling you that I was going to list 14 events today that are going to help you understand your hope. The first one I'd like to list for you is the Garden of Eden. This event is significant to our hope. The Garden of Eden was the original paradise where God created man and woman, and they were given power and authority to rule here on earth as God's under rulers. They were created with the potential to be immortal, and they were instructed to subdue the earth and fill it with people. Genesis chapters 1 through 3, you can read about this. They were created with the potential to be immortal. That was contingent upon the fact of obedience. If they would obeyed, we'd still be in the garden. You know the story. Once the fall of mankind happened, the next event I like to list for you, event number 2, is the Old Testament. During the Old Testament period, God deals first with Gentiles. You will remember that Abram was a Gentile. First with Gentiles. Then after the birth of the nation of Israel, God deals with Jews and Gentiles throughout the Old Testament. The third event I want to list for you is the first coming of Christ. The first coming of Christ. During this particular event, we see the birth of Jesus Christ, Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Matthew, his life, his ministry, his passion, his resurrection. These are all recorded in the four Gospels where you can learn about these things. The fourth event I want to list for you is Pentecost. Pentecost, 10 days after the Ascension. This event started the Christian church, where both Jew and Gentile become one in Christ. The fifth event I want to list for you is the Church of Grace. The Church of Grace. We now live in this secret administration of grace, hidden in God before the world began. That's the period of time in which we live. These are all different events that are leading up to things to come, that are leading up to the end. The next significant event that will take place after the Church of Grace is called the Rapture. The Rapture. You may refer to it as gathering together, Christ's second coming, the first part of it. In the Rapture, the Church of Grace is taking off the earth to meet Jesus in the air. Christians then stand before the judgment seat of Christ to be judged for their works here on earth during their lifetime. They will then suffer loss or be rewarded. They will not lose their salvation. They will lose their privileges and responsibilities to rule in the coming kingdom. With the church gone from the earth, God will then deal with Israel and with the Gentiles as separate entities just as He did in the Old Testament and in the Gospels, because that's all that will be left back on the earth, Israel and Gentiles. And He would deal with them the way He did in the Old Testament. The next event that will come to pass is called the Tribulation. You can read about this in Revelation 6, 7, 8, all the way through 19. The Tribulation is a period of time on the earth where intense trouble will come to pass. The Tribulation is often spoken of and described in the Old Testament. Number 8, the next event that will come to pass to end the Tribulation will be the second coming of Christ, Revelation 14, verses 17 through 20. At this point, and only at this point, with regards to the corporate church, Christ comes from heaven to the earth with His armies, plural, including the saints of the Church of Grace. He then fights the Battle of Armageddon, and the Battle of Armageddon, after once fought by Jesus Christ, ends the Tribulation here on earth. Christ then conquers the earth. The beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire, and the devil is chained for 1,000 years. This is all at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. He conquers the earth. The beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. The devil, they snatch a hold of him. They chain him up for 1,000 years. The next event that will come to pass is called the First Resurrection. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. The righteous of the Old Testament who died before Pentecost, and the righteous of the Tribulation who died during the Tribulation, the righteous believers of the Old Testament, Pentecost back, who died before Pentecost, and the righteous of the Tribulation period, those people who believed, those people who were martyred, those people who accepted Christ, those people who would hold their witness unto death during the Tribulation period, will be raised, resurrected from the dead. They will be judged, and they will enter into the kingdom of God as immortals. As immortals. Okay. Also, at this time of the first resurrection, Matthew 25 records what's called the sheep and goat judgment. These are the people who survived the Tribulation and are found righteous, the sheep. They will be allowed to enter into the kingdom as immortals. But these people are still alive. You understand? The first people who died in the Tribulation are part of the resurrection of the dead. The remaining people on earth during the Tribulation who live through the Tribulation and are still surviving at the return of Christ, where He fights the Battle of Armageddon, they will also be judged. The righteous, the sheep, will be judged righteous and allowed to enter into the kingdom. They will enter into the kingdom as mortals, and they will repopulate the earth during that 1,000 years. However, they will be mortals, and they will eventually die. They will have children, 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 etc. Those who survive the Tribulation but are found unrighteous are thrown into the lake of fire, thus the goats. Okay? That particular judgment has nothing to do with the church. That particular judgment has everything to do with the people on earth, because that particular judgment takes place when Jesus Christ is on the earth. All right? Now, the next event. Get the tape and listen to it and study it. That's why I gave you the records of the scriptures, not so I can do all the work for you. I know this stuff inside and out. You need to take the scriptures and look at it and make and get convinced of it yourself. The next event, event number 10, that will come to pass, is called the Millennial Kingdom. The Millennial Kingdom. The thousand-year reign of Christ here on earth with the resurrected righteous saints of the Old Testament, the resurrected righteous of the tribulation, and the righteous mortals who are allowed to enter into the kingdom who survived the tribulation, and the church of grace, all will be in this millennial kingdom. You understand? Old Testament saints, tribulation saints, resurrection, tribulation survivors, sheep, and church of God, us. Those groups of people will be here on the earth to reign with Messiah for 1,000 years. For 1,000 years. So there will be mortals and immortals occupying the earth at the same time. Some people laugh at this. And they say, how can this be? You know, I think Augustine was one of them. Because they mock the gathering together, the second coming, and the way this is divided in the scriptures. But, you know, they don't mock when Jesus Christ was here for 40 days and 40 nights teaching the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. Right? Was he an immortal? Was he able to coexist amongst the mortals? Was everything like normal? And we will have a body fashioned like under what? Okay. So when you hear this kind of stuff and they say, well, how this? Jesus did it for 40 days. And he's the first fruits. We're going to do the same thing. You have the 1,000 year period. Christ reigns here on earth. The people who receive rewards that are in the church and that are rewarded in the Old Testament also, they receive responsibilities. They are delegated privileges. The earth has to be subdued. The word of God has to go out from Jerusalem. The nations of the world have to be taught the scriptures. There's people being born, etc., etc., etc. They are still being born with the ability to sin, these mortals. So these mortals who repopulate the earth during this 1,000-year period are still being born with the ability to sin. They still have the old man nature. They are still born dead in trespasses and sin. They still need to be taught the word of God. Although Satan is bound for 1,000 years and his influence on them, and the demons are bound with him, they are still born dead in trespasses and sin. They are still born with evil thoughts, their minds, and etc., etc. This is where the saved, the church, the saints will come in. They will teach the word of God. They will help administrate the political government of Messiah over the whole earth. It will be a political government. People will live longer, the mortals, in that millennial reign. The earth will produce better in the millennial reign. The quality of life will be better. The air will be better. The oceans will be better. Everything will be better. Everything will respond in a favorable way to the presence of Messiah here on earth. Things will not be perfect, but they will be much better. We know from the scriptures that if a child dies at 100 years old, it will be considered young. So life expectancy in the millennial reign will grow for the mortals. Things will be better. The next event that is recorded in the scripture, event number 11, is that Satan is loosed. You can read about this in Revelation. You will note that he has been bound for this 1,000-year period. But the Word of God then teaches that he must be loose for a what? Little season. Now, during this 1,000-year period, the earth has been repopulated by the mortals. It is these mortals that Satan will go out and deceive from the four corners of the earth. And he will gather together these mortals to turn against Christ and against his saints. He will gather them around Jerusalem. He will bring them there for the sole purpose of destroying the church at that particular point of Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, to destroy them. He will be able to deceive those people because those people were born into the millennial reign with sin still. They were still born dead in trespasses and sin. Those people will have to renew their minds. Those people will have to live according to the standard of God's Word. And I do not particularly know, well, I do know. I know at that particular time, salvation will be offered on a different level. Salvation by grace, seed, at that particular time, will not be offered to those people in the millennial reign. Because those people in the millennial reign will get up at the second resurrection. They have to be raised. Okay? If they die during the reign, they must then be raised. At the second resurrection, some will enter into the kingdom, some won't, the eternal kingdom. So whatever the standard for salvation is, I do not know. Satan is loose. During this short time, he goes out and deceives the nations of the world. He gathers them together to attack and to destroy Jerusalem. The 12th event listed is what we call the final war. The final war. At this particular point in time, fire comes down from God, destroys the enemies of God and of God's people. Then the devil is taken and he is thrown into the lake of fire. He's thrown into the lake of fire. The next event listed, it's called the second resurrection and the white throne judgment. The second resurrection and the white throne judgment. The unrighteous of all time and those who died during the millennial kingdom are raised and they are then judged. The saved, or the ones that are deemed righteous, enter into the everlasting kingdom. The unsaved, or the unrighteous, are thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. Saved. You understand? And what is it to be saved? It's not to be work your way to heaven in our administration. It's to accept the grace of God. It's to receive the gift freely. It's to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. It's to confess Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead. It has nothing to do with our works because it had everything to do with his works. It did not have anything to do with the article that I read to you earlier where it says the Pope says that there is no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. It is the one true church and there is no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. That's what the Pope said. Speaking of the Pope, I got a note here that says a lawyer and the Pope died, and they went to heaven. It says, when the lawyer died, at the same moment, the Pope died, and they arrived at the gates of heaven at the same moment also. They spent a day in orientation, and as they were getting their heavenly vestments, the Pope gets a plain white toga and wings like everybody else. But the lawyer gets much finer apparel, made of gold thread and goosey shoes. Then they went to see where they were going to go live. The Pope gets what everybody else gets, a replica of a Holiday Inn room. And the lawyer gets an 18-room mansion with servants and a swimming pool. At dinner time, the Pope receives the standard TV kosher meal. But the lawyer receives a 5-course meal, including caviar, prime rib, and chocolate truffles. By this time, the lawyer is beginning to suspect whether an error has been made. So he says to one of the angels in charge, "Has there been some kind of mistake? This guy was the Pope, and he gets what everybody else gets. I'm just a lawyer, and I'm getting the finest of everything." The angel replied, "No mistake, sir. We have had a lot of popes up here, but you're the first lawyer we've ever had." Listen, I don't know if the Pope will be there. If he believes in Jesus, he will. But that's not the kind of salvation I'm talking about. The second resurrection and the white throne judgment. The unrighteous of all time and those who died during the millennial kingdom are raised and judged. The saved enter into what's called the everlasting kingdom. The unsaved are thrown into the lake of fire, never to be seen again. They are dissolved. The 14th event listed in the scriptures with regards to our hope, it's called the everlasting kingdom, the eternal kingdom, or paradise restored. This is where and when God sets up his kingdom here on a recreated earth, a paradise, and it's restored, and it lasts forever. Revelation 21 and 22. Those are the 14 events of things to come. If you will take and go over what I shared with you this morning, because this is just an overview, you will see how the Word of God will fit and how the administrations will fit, and where and how you will fit and different people will fit with regards to these administrations. In the next several days to come, what I'll do is I'll begin to develop and show you portions of these different events and show you from the scriptures irreconcilable differences that will keep you safe so you don't put the church in with Israel and suffering with Israel, so you don't put Israel over here where they don't belong, so you don't put the Gentile over here where he doesn't belong, so you don't put the tribulation here where it doesn't belong. God has placed within his holy scriptures landmarks, signposts, keys, and not just one or not just two, but over and over and over again, he has told us specifically specific records, specific points that the church will go through. Specific records, specific points that Israel will go through. But you see, it's still part of our hope. And our hope will culminate here back on the earth. What you got to see is that it will all come full circle. God's original intent for mankind was to live in a garden of paradise here on the earth. God has been trying and executing his plan to bring mankind back to his original intent. If God wanted man to live in heaven, God would have formed, made, and created man with the ability to survive in heaven. Angels are spiritual beings. They are formed, made, created with spiritual bodies. They are given those spiritual bodies because of the realm in which they inhabit. Okay? Man does not have the same body that an angel has. Man is different. Man was formed, made, and created different. The reason why man was formed, made, and created with soul life and with the body and with the Spirit of God, etc., etc., is because of the realm in which man inhabits. Man inhabits the earth. Man was made to enjoy the earth. Man was made to reproduce. Man was made to interact one with another. Man was made to work the earth. Man was made to govern. Man was made to repopulate the earth. Man was made to subdue the earth. All of these things. God will have his way with man. God will have an earth, a paradise, recreated, where man can live and thrive and worship and enjoy the things that God has made for him. Understand? That's what God always wanted. It doesn't say in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth and God placed man in the heavens. Man's original home was the earth. That's where God wanted man. And when it all comes full circle, you will find that man will live on a recreated earth here with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And at that point in time, the curse will be lifted from the earth. There will be no more curse. The ground will produce the way it's supposed to produce, and man will once again live the way he was designed to live in the garden, in paradise. I don't know if it will be the garden. It will be paradise. Okay? That's what the scriptures teach. The scriptures do not teach that we go to heaven once we die. The scriptures do not teach that we live eternity in heaven. The scriptures do not teach these things. Church teaches these things. And even amongst the churches, there's so many discrepancies you couldn't put it together. The scriptures teach that man will come back to the earth with Messiah. And then the scriptures teach in Thessalonians, wherever the Lord is, we are, therefore comfort one another with these words. And anybody that knows anything about the future knows that the Lord's going to be where? Here back on the earth, subduing the nations of the earth. The nations of the world have become, the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his what? Christ. And Messiah's ever peaceful government will continue to grow from Jerusalem, covering the whole entire earth during that millennial reign. And in the eternal kingdom, God will be here personally and Jesus Christ, and it will be on the earth. Okay? So that's an overview of things to come. If you take the time, read the scriptures I gave you, perhaps you can add some more to them. I think it'll help you stay out of trouble and give you some clear sight to where our hope is to take us. Okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thanks for the teaching that you've given us. And thanks, Father, that we can take the time to study it out and understand where we're going and what we're doing. And Jesus was not confused with the gospel that he taught, Father, and there's no reason that we should be confused with the gospel he taught. So thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for all that we'll do, and thanks that we can speak for you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay.